triple double hat trick. I know the code too. Ice tray, go for tray. Yeah, we cold too. Getting paper on these player haters. Old news, money on the other line. So I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line. So I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line. So I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line. So I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line. So I'm not gonna hold. My agent Jeff said we made 100 flat. Make it back and make it stack. This like I'm Steven Jack. Put my rings up in the camera like I needed that. Up in the air and at the rim is where I meet him at.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It has been a while, but welcome back to another edition of I'm Not Gonna Hold You, man. As usual, I am your host, Scott Lewis. Of course, you can follow me at BarberChairScott on all social media platforms. That includes Twitter/X, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, the whole deal, man. Follow your boy. Follow the Barber's Chair at Barber's Chair Co. Follow HNB Media at HNB Media TV on Twitter and at HNB Media on Instagram. And of course, while you are at it, follow I'm Not Gonna Hold You at INGHY Show on both Twitter and Instagram. And of course, subscribe to our Patreon, man. Patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. The link is in the description box. And if you're watching this on a smart TV or you know, you're too lazy to click the link, the QR code is on the screen. You can take your phone right up to the QR code and scan it. It'll take you to all the different tiers we've got at the Barber's Chair Patreon. And also, while you're at it, subscribe to my new YouTube channel, man. I've got a lot of stuff on there. I've been updating that joint damn near daily. So definitely subscribe. That link is also in the description box, and that QR code is also on the screen. We're trying to get to at least 500 subscribers by the end of the year. I'm on 389 right now, so let's get these up. And if you already a subscriber, I appreciate you. And, you know, share the link. Get your people on what we got going on, man. So going to bring the crew in just a second, and I'll explain the absence for the show. It's been actually almost a month to the day since the last time we did a show, man. So I'm going to bring in the rest of the crew right now. We've got the one and only JR Bang in the building. You can follow Bang at JR Bang. You can follow Dante at Ed October Zone Tay. And of course, get in tune with everything they are doing, man. Fellas, how we feeling?
Good, bro. Back in the building. There's been a lot of good stuff going on in Chicago sports for once. So, you know, it's been good. I got a little few things to talk about.
Bang, how you feeling, man?
Hey, man, feeling good. No, a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to Chicago sports. As Tay just said, feeling good to be a Chicago fan right now.
Definitely, we got a lot to talk about in Chicago sports space. We got a lot of stuff to talk about in the NFL in general, man. But in the time that we have been on here, man, I have got lights now. Like, I got studio lights. Looking real radiant right now. Had to copy because I know y'all probably don't pay attention to it, but I do. When I produce these things, driving the wall and the production value ain't where it needs to be. So I got me some nice studio lights in there. But anyway, the reason for the delay, man, I'm just gonna be straight up. I was overworked, bro. I needed a mental break. I was overwhelmed. That was a whole bunch of shit. So, you know, putting together a damn near 2.5 hour show twice a week. Traveling, doing these Bears games, you know, regular life shit, the whole thing. I had a birthday last week. Well, not last week, 2 weeks ago. So it was a bunch, but we also used it as a way to kind of figure out how to make the show better for you guys. And so announcement, The show will only, the live stream that we do here will only be once a week now. It will be on Fridays, usual time, 4:10, 4:15. And I say that because we are always on CP time. This show never starts exactly on 4 p.m. And I'm a very punctual person. This is the only show that I'm usually late for. And it's never on purpose. I always got to do stuff like let my dog out, feed this dude, and then do a whole bunch of other stuff. So, but yeah, that's when usual. But it will not be a two and a half hour joint anymore. These shows will be an hour, you know, of actual content at the most. I say of actual content because, you know, obviously intro, whatever, it might be 10 minutes, shit like that. But it will actually be only an hour of actual content. We're going to keep it real short and sweet. And we appreciate comments, but we definitely need help with everything we're doing. So starting next Friday, not going to start today. Leave a comment, do your whole thing. But starting next Friday, if you want to leave a comment, your comment only be showed if you donate a super chat. Now, obviously, there's no money. Y'all can donate a quarter for all I care. Just, you know, donate something to the super chat if you have a question or a comment that wants to be shared. And for us Mondays, I know everybody wants to know about, you know, recapping not just the NFL and Bears games and everything going on in the world of sports. I will be doing the I'm Not Gonna Hold You weekend recaps, which will be Patreon only. You know, it'll mainly either be me and a guest or two. So either be, man, most weeks are just gonna be me. You know, sometimes Banger Dante or Courtney is available, or Tosin, or maybe I have a special guest, they will join. Those episodes will be around the same length, 45 minutes to an hour. This Monday, I've got Mariano doing the weekend recap with me, as we'll recap everything from week 10 in the NFL. And, yeah, I'm just going to be uploading a whole bunch of content on my personal YouTube. I'm going to be doing I'm Not Going to Hold You shorts where it might be a topic or something I just want to talk about for about 10, 15 minutes like I've been doing all of October, and y'all been showing love on that. All of our NFL previews will be strictly on that channel. I'm not going to have it part of the show anymore, man. So that is the change, and that starts today. And, yeah, so that's exactly what happened. So let's just get right into it. Let's just kick it off with the Chicago Bears. The 5-3 Chicago Bears are getting ready to host the New York Football Giants, who are 2-7. Even though they've been much more watchable than they have in the past, this is still not a good team, especially with all the talent they've lost. Obviously, they lost Malik Nabers early in the season. They lost Cam Scatterball a couple weeks ago. And, you know, they just haven't been as good as they've been in weeks past. So the Bears are going to have a chance to move to 6-3 and winning six of their last seven. But we'll talk about that game in a minute. But I want to talk about the trade deadline. Me and Bang talked about it a little bit on 79th and Hallis this week. I talked about it on the preview pod for 79th and Hallis yesterday as well. But we found out from Ryan Poles himself that the reason he didn't make a deal at the trade deadline, even though he was on the phone trying to see what's up, was because Ben Johnson told him, let's not use any of our assets and things like that. We got a lot of young players. Let's just see what we've got right now. And that's what changed my opinion on the trade deadline. First, I was mad that there wasn't any moves made because you have an opportunity to make the postseason. These don't come around a lot of times, especially with the Chicago Bears. You cannot wheel out this defense that's not only not good, but also very hurt for the next 9 weeks. But this kind of goes, I believe, you know, once I heard Ben Johnson say he was cool with it, to something Bang said weeks ago, actually months ago, when he said, this is going to be a season where you're looking at the year as, you know, oh, well, they say we're going to be entertaining the playoffs, but they're really not entertaining the playoffs. And this is just something that, you know, they're going to see who's going to make it, who's not going to make it, who we're going to cut the fat off of. So, Bay, I wanted to get your thoughts on hearing that Ben said, I'm straight, and it goes back to your original point.
Nah, it made me feel better. Like, me makes it knowing this makes me feel a whole lot better than what I felt during the deadline and when we were on the show. If Ben feels like he has the pieces to be successful, then don't use up your capital. No, I still would have probably been like, yo, you sure? Because, yo, that line ain't looking. But the one thing that I did say on the show was that sometimes people feel comfortable, and either you're going to be a realist and say, hey, we might need some help in this area or that area, or you're going to be confident enough to believe that you have what you have. And if you believe in Austin Booker the way I believe that the Bears believe in Austin Booker, then you don't make a trade for a edge rusher. If you feel how you feel about your defensive backfield, you don't go and you make a trade. You do go and kick the tires on Ashanti Samuel Jr. And stuff, and he's supposed to be in the building, I believe, on Tuesday. But you utilize your cap in that way. So knowing that Ben felt that way and told Ryan, like, yo, chill out, it does make me feel better because at this point we got to trust the coach.
Right, and that's all about what we've been saying all year, trusting Ben Johnson, trusting his plan, which I think has worked out pretty good for the Bears so far. I'm with you. I probably still would have tried to make a move. I don't know what move was out there. I do look like the prices for premium players was very high. I think as far as starting to rebuild, the Jets did a really good job with, you know, getting rid of Sauce Gardner, getting rid of Quinnen Williams, and getting back the number of first and second round picks that they got, knowing that that ship isn't going anywhere. So I don't know if the Bears were ready for that rich price. And I think I was also just being thirsty as my fan side and not really thinking about the picks, which, as I told our guy Mikey, I'm not the general manager of Chicago Bears. You figure it out. I don't care how it happens. But Dante, tell me, number one, your thoughts on the season at hand. We haven't got your opinion on it. I know me and Bang have been talking about it on 79th and Hallis. Your point, your thoughts on the season so far and what you felt about the trade deadline and Ben basically saying, no, I'm straight.
I think as far as the trade deadline, because we don't have that much salary cap available right now, and unless you're going to go and, you know, rework some deals in the middle of the season, which they typically don't do, I understood that. You weren't trading for Trey and giving him his extension. So, I mean, it made sense. You know, the guy we got is another guy that fits the Dennis Allen mold. It's not a name that we know. He hasn't had much production. He's a low-end first-rounder. You know, it's more so typical polls in the sense that we're trying to project what somebody can be. But at the same time, we've talked about that this season. I mean, I only expected us to win six games, so the fact that they have five right now, if this were just a let's evaluate and see what we have type of season, I wouldn't be mad at that, because one thing we've seen so far is that the Bears are winning games that they would typically lose. The Bears are, you know, being, you know, productive on the defensive side of the ball in terms of takeaways. And this is with your top DBs hurt, you know, despite the penalties, despite the way, you know, they have given up a lot of yards. They've been able to create a lot of takeaways. So, you know, like I said, if this turns into a just evaluation season, they've already won five games. I only picked them to win six, so I wouldn't have a problem with that right now. And for Ben Johnson, I think that's smart. It's, let me see what I got. Let me see, you know, what we can work with, what we can't work with. And then, you know, we can go into next offseason with all of our assets. We haven't compromised any assets for the sake of a maybe move. Because right now, it looks like outside of, like I said, when you knew you weren't going to get Hendrickson and give him his extension, there were a lot of maybe moves. There were a lot of rentals and things like that. So it was like, no, let's not do that. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. We're winning games that we would typically lose. We're establishing Ben Johnson's culture. And when it's time to use the assets, we'll use the assets. So I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I think culture is the most important word here when we're talking about Ben Johnson right now. We're seeing the Bears have fun. And I tweeted this a couple days ago. Me and Bane talked about this on 79th and Hallis. By the way, a new episode, 79th and Hallis, if you want a full breakdown of the Bears-Giants game, I did that yesterday. It's live on Patreon right now. So subscribe, check that out. I was saying, Bears fans, you got to enjoy it because these seasons don't come around much for the Bears. We don't know how this is going to end. I said they were going to be 9-8 and barely miss the playoffs. They are right on schedule for my prediction, and I am not budging until I see some more stuff. I just personally don't feel this defense is going to hold up enough against the better teams when they've been, you know, popping it open for mediocre teams. You know, these first couple of weeks of the first half of the season, kind of that's my biggest issue going forward. Because, you know, you got these next two games, which, you know, going into the next topic of why these next two games are so important for the Bears' chances to actually make the playoffs, is you're 5-3 right now. You're 5-3. I'm assuming they're going to win on Sunday. I picked them to win on Sunday. I picked them to win 31-20 on Sunday. and that will move you to 6-3. And then you head to Minnesota, which is going to be a tough game. We haven't won in Minnesota in a couple years. This is a team that did beat the Bears at home, first game of the season on Monday Night Football. And say what you want about J.J. McCarthy, he finds a way to win, at least in the games he's played. He's found a way to win not only in Chicago Monday Night Football, but in Detroit against the number one, you know, the team that's been running the division the last couple of years, the Detroit Lions. So he finds a way. So it's going to be something that's going to be tough, especially against that Brian Flores defense. But you got a chance right here to go into the tougher part of your schedule, 7-3, which I think would be phenomenal, even something that I even think the most positive Bears fan did not see happening coming into this season. If you look at the remainder of the schedule after these two games, you got Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, which could be on flex alerts. I was talking to Mikey, and I was talking to one of my homies who works in the NFL, so I'm not going to name drop him. And he was saying that there is a chance that Bears could be flexed to Monday night because you can flex out Monday night games. I don't think this is a CBS game, so they're not going to flex it to NBC, even though that NBC game that night is Rams-Buccaneers. I don't think they're going to flex that anyway. And you can't even move it to the 3 p.m. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo spot because you got the Raiders and Browns, and that's a West Coast game. But there is a chance that could be flexed out, flexed into a Monday night football game, which, because of my soccer watching purposes, I actually hope it gets flexed. I don't want to watch the op bowl, as I call it, with Aaron Rodgers and the hated team that Arsenal playing at the same time. I don't want to do that, so I hope it gets flexed. But you got the Steelers coming in. They've been having a good season. And Aaron Rodgers, you know nothing. Aaron Rodgers would love nothing more than to beat the Bears again. And let's be, this is his last trip to Soldier Field. You know, so even if he plays another year with the Steelers, Steelers and Bears don't play all the time. This is last time in Soldier Field. He would love nothing more. Then you go Black Friday in Philadelphia, which I'm going to be real. I think they're going to kick our ass. Like, I think that's going to be one of them holidays. Oh, it's a triple header NBA after this? Oh, I'm good. I'm hungover. You ain't really half paying attention to the game? That's what I think it's going to be. Then you got the Browns. Browns are a mess, but that defense is good. You play the Packers twice in 3 weeks, once at home, once on the road. That one in Soldier Field is going to be a primetime game because there's only two games on that Saturday, and that's the day after Christmas, if I'm not mistaken, or the day before Christmas. I got to look at it. But they have two games on that Saturday NFL schedule. You got the Commanders and the Eagles, and you got the Bears and the Packers. With the way that the Commanders are playing, they are 100% starting that day with that matchup, and they're going to close it with Bears-Packers. And you got the Niners on Sunday Night Football, and then you got a game against Detroit, which – could be for the division, could be to clinch a playoff spot. So these next two games, you got to win. And for me, the only chance, I won't say the only chance, but the only way I can realistically see this team making the playoffs is if you win these next two games. These are the only last, quote-unquote, winnable games left on the schedule. Dante, I'm going to go back to you. What do you feel about these next two games coming up, and is it do or die for the playoffs for them if they are trying to make it?
I won't say that because, I mean, I still think there's a game left on this schedule that I have the Bears slated to lose that they're going to win. So I think, you know, going to 7-3 is important. That would be dope. That would be dope. I'm not picking them to beat Philadelphia at all. So, you know, going 2-0 before you play Philadelphia in that game, that is important, but at the same time, a lot can still happen. You know, we always talk about any given Sunday. We always talk about teams developing more. You know, they're still starting to get things out of Kyle Manun guy. Colston Loveland, I know a lot of his yards from last game were that chunk play at the end with just horrible tackling. But seeing if he continues to grow in this offense. And even with Caleb, bro, you know, not hitting those you know, handshakes, as we like to say, those easy plays that can turn into something more. The joints that he, like, a lot of times, it's not even that he misses them. If you watch the games, he just looks right past them. Like, he sees it immediately. And he's like, nah, it got to be something else downfield. So, I mean, I think this offense can still look a lot different. And that's saying something for a team that's still scoring a good amount of points, that has a defense that's, you know, taking the ball away from the other team and giving them the ball back in good field position. So, I think these two games are important just out of strength. You want to stack as many W's as possible. And going in 7-3, that matters because I think the NFC has, you know, a lot of good teams right now. that we as we see. So if you do want to compete for that wild card, you're gonna need, you know, 9, 10, maybe 11 wins this year. It's gonna be tough because it's a lot of teams that are really winning. I know some of them have to play each other and they'll knock each other off, but nah. I think I'm not gonna say extremely important, but who wouldn't want to win two games, especially one that's extremely winnable.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, it's going to take 11. I think the NFC is too deep. I think there's going to be a couple 10-win teams that's going to miss it. So I do think it's going to be 11. But I think you're right, too. Also, NFL season is so unpredictable that the Bears might end up winning the game. They ain't got no business winning to kind of switch the, you know, the chances here. But I do think these two games are incredibly important. Bang, I'm going to go to you. What's your thoughts about the importance of these next two games?
Well, these two games are very important. You have a game against a team that you should win. You should defeat at home in bear weather, if you want to call it that, in the Giants. And I do think this Minnesota game, because of what happened in the last game, I think with the improvement that the offense have had, is right for the taking. I don't agree that this is the last of that, because I look at that Cleveland Browns game as a game that should be a winnable one as well. So you want to add that up in there. But I also look at, and I know we're going to talk about the state of the NFC North a bit soon, but the NFC North has been shitting the bed. You can even say that the Bears did that first game of the season. Green Bay has done that twice. I still say that the Green Bay Packers have had the two worst losses this season, against the Browns and against the Panthers. And then you have Detroit losing to the Vikings. And the Vikings finally getting their quarterback back. So I don't think that it is out of the realm of possibility that the Bears can win this division, because I don't think nobody has taken control of this division. Nobody has strong-armed this division. So as long as you are in the hunt, and again, the Bears, I believe, is like a game and a half back right there, I think they're in it. As long as they can do what they need to do with their division games. And then when you look at the Green Bay Packers game too, again, we was talking about Micah Parsons and, oh man, and again, two worst losses in the NFL to me this season.
Yeah, losing to the Panthers, and who was the other loss to? Was it Cleveland? Yeah, it was Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. One of those was at Lambeau. With Flacco, and, you know, talking about the NFC North, I got the standings right here. So currently, right now, the Green Bay Packers are technically in first place with a 5-2-1 record. The Lions are number two with 5-3. The Bears are three with 5-3. Obviously, they're number three because they lost to the Detroit Lions. And the Vikings are in last place at 4-4. So this entire division is 500 and up. It's like a game separating all of these teams, and the only other division that comes close really is Seattle, is the NFC West, the Seattle Rams and Niners, even in the Cardinals out of it. This is a 4-team race right now in the NFC, and I think what you said too is, you know, the two teams that people thought were going to run away with this, and I was one of them who thought, oh man, the Packers got Micah Parsons, and you know, they're finna run it up now, especially the way they played that first week and beating Detroit. But like you said, them two losses they had have been terrible. I don't really think Micah has made a really good impact yet. He's, you know, Jerry Jones is actually looking correct, and Jerry Jones is a funny guy for going out there and trading Micah Parsons, then going out there and giving up premium assets to go get Quinton Williams. I thought that was pretty fucking hilarious. But, you know, there's their team where people know that they're not going to let Jordan Love beat them. I don't – y'all can sit up here and run these little montages and, oh, he's 27. You know, what happens when they're 27? Brett Favre won a Super Bowl 27. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl 27. Stop comparing them to those two. It's like the price of 300 and a Phantom conversation. We all know who Jordan Love is. Is Jordan Love a bad quarterback? No. But Jordan Love is Jay Cutler. He is the black Jay Cutler. One minute he looks incredible, making big plays, and like, this kid could be an elite quarterback. And then he will throw maybe the worst pass I've ever seen in my life, like that end zone interception he threw against the Carolina Panthers, which that Panther cornerback, whoever that was, he'd be ashamed that he dropped it. It was just absolutely terrible. So they're going to be up and down as well. This is the first time in my life, been a long time, Well, I look at the two Packer games, and I'm like, I'm not walking to that building with fear, especially with the Bears finding a way to win last week as well. And then you got Detroit. Detroit, to me, was a team I felt like was getting into form as well. I even said on one of my individual videos on my YouTube page was this a team that I feel was better than the last couple of years. They're getting into form. The defense looks better, and they're going to make it to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not fully back off of that yet, but they are definitely showing signs of inconsistency. And that's something that can be dealt with as well. I haven't looked at their schedule, but I do think they got some tough games coming up as well. Minnesota's in it mathematically. I just am not expecting much from them long term because of that. Jordan Love better than Jay Cutler. Right now, he's not. Jordan Love right now is not better than Jay Cutler. He's not. And that's mainly because he's young and he ain't played as long as Jay Cutler do. But give me, if you take prime Jay Cutler right, whatever year you want to call prime Jay Cutler, let's just say 2010, 2011, when the Bears went to the NFC Championship game, and then 2011, where they started off 7-1, and then he messed up his thumb and they proceeded to lose damn near every game for the rest of the season. If you take that Jay Cutler and give me this version of Jordan Love, and I say this version because he's still young, I'm taking Jay Cutler every day of the week, but it's not by a large margin. They're the same guy. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not an elite quarterback. His coach is good enough that his play calling helps him. And if you look at Green Bay, they run a game, man. It's not as it used to be either. Josh Jacobs ain't doing what he did last year. The defense can be dealt with. And Minnesota, to me, is just a team where, you know how they show the in the hunt? They fake in the hunt because they're there mathematically. You know, I'm not a believer of J.J. McCarthy. I'm just not. And I just don't think they have what they've had the last couple of years. And they're going to lose games too. So I'm not really looking at them as well. And the Bears, from the Bears' perspective, yeah, they're in it. I don't give them a legit shot to win a division, but they can make it tough for the Packers and the Lions the rest of the year, which I think is a big step up from what we've seen in the past. Bay, tell me your overall thoughts on the NFC North currently.
I mean, as you know, based on what you just said, I disagree with you. I think that the Bears do have a good shot at winning this division. As you just need to keep pace with the teams that you have. Green Bay is a winnable game. Minnesota's a winnable game. You got to try to get your revenge retaliation and get back when it comes to Detroit. But when you look at what Green Bay has done and when you look at Minnesota, just those two right there, and there's three games left with those, it makes it winnable. Plus, when you look at, you have, you know, if you do what you need to do against the Giants, you do what you need to do against the Browns, and everybody has a similar schedule. So it's going to be difficult for all parties involved. I still think that it's going to come down to the end of the season when we look at playoff seeding and the NFC North and what everybody is doing. Because I also do believe in Ben Johnson. This team has grown pretty much every game in some way, shape, or form possible, even with the losses that they have. What I also will say is just looking at the other teams, Minnesota, we're still not comfortable with JJ. Jordan Love is still not taking the step that everybody wants him to. And that defense ain't as good as everybody think it is with Micah Parsons. And when we look at Detroit, to me, seems like the team that should win this division, but they lost against the Vikings, which shows me when you have that with J.J. McCarthy coming back, it is any given Sunday when it comes to this division. But when you also look at the fact that the Bears have a tiebreaker against the Dallas Cowboys, which could be competitive or at least try to be competitive to get into the playoffs, and with Jaden Daniels gone possibly for a significant amount of time, even though they didn't put him on injured reserve. Just look at it. The division you have to worry about is the NFC West. And you do have an NFC West game towards the end of the season with the San Francisco 49ers. And hopefully we could break that Santa Clara curse. But no, I think that when you look at the NFC North and you look at the NFC West, that's going to be the two divisions who are going to fight for that final playoff spot. The Bears right now on the outside looking in. I'm happy that the Bears are in the hunt and not fake in the hunt. But these next couple of games is going to determine if that's real or not. But hey, any given Sunday right now.
Yep, definitely agree with that. Dante, give me your thoughts on the landscape in the North and who should be favorite currently.
I mean, right now, I would still say Detroit. I think off just of the past few years. I'm higher on Jordan Love than most, although I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I still think he's good enough to get the job done. But also, I think, you know, Mike and that defense have to take a step further. You know, they have to really step it up in order for them to really take that leap and be a true Super Bowl contender. So right now, I'm going to go with Detroit. I think Detroit's still going to win the division. They still have the issues that they have to work through. But everything they've done so far, given, you know, the amount of turnover that they had on their coaching staff, I think that team is still in a very good position based on the rest of their schedule and just the trust they have on the players. The trust they have in the players they already have on that roster. So right now, I think it has to be Detroit. The Bears, although we are 5-3, I feel like I still feel like some of our wins have been more fluke. I don't want to say luck. I don't like using the word luck, but like just we aren't just outright winning games. It's been some shit that bounced our way, and I'll take that. But at the same time, when it comes to being a good team and a consistently good team, you got to just outright win games. And all this questionable shit is not what we need to be doing. So I would have to say, it's Detroit, Green Bay, and then us. Still, just for the time being, it just has to be that. But I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year it's Detroit and then Chicago, because I do think the way Ben Johnson has been coaching, the way his culture is taking place, taking root in Chicago, I think there's still going to be some games, like I said, that I think the Bears should lose, that they probably win. And if they win the games they should win, you're looking at 11-12 win team and they in the playoffs.
Fair play. I'll say this one last thing. This team does remind me of that 2001 Bears team where you were figuring out how the fuck is this team winning every week, but with a much better offense. With a much, much better offense. So quickly before we move on to non-Bears stuff, so injury report just dropped for the Bears for Sunday. Josh Blackwell is out. TJ Edwards is out now. If you missed the update earlier, TJ Edwards had surgery on his hand. Will not affect his playing. He's going to wear a club on his hand when he does play, but that hamstring that has been bothering him since the end of training camp is still bothering me. He's going to miss this game. The Bears are not putting TJ on IR because Ben Johnson feels that he can get back before the four-game limit. Dominique Robinson is out once again. DeAndre Swift is questionable. He practiced limited fashion on Wednesday, full on Thursday, did not practice today. My guess is that he plays on Sunday. Luther Burden practiced in full. Grady Jarrett practiced in full. Roshan Johnson practiced in full. So that's good news for the Bears. You already know who I picked. I got Bears 31-20. Let's just quickly, I'm going to go around the room. Bang, what's your score on Sunday?
I'm picking the Bears in a lower scoring game, but still a dominant game. I'm picking the Bears 24-10. I think this is going to be another showcase for the running game, being that the weather's supposed to not be nice. Supposed to be like 30 mile per hour winds. It's
30 and snow.
Yep, and it's gonna snow that day. So this is definitely going to be a heavy dose of the run game. Kalmanon guy probably is going to have another big game. It's back to that Rutgers type of style for him. So I got the Bears 24-10.
Dante, what's your score?
I'm going a little high scoring. I'm going 34-17 Bears. I think the Bears are going to be able to put up points on this team. And I think even though, man, we still just – the injuries are crazy. But I do think we'll be able to stop them more than they stop us. So it'll be one of them games where as long as we execute, I think this is a game that the Bears should and will win handily.
All right, man. Let's move on to the rest of the NFL, man. If you want my Week 10 preview, that is live on my YouTube channel right now. So subscribe at Barb Chair Scott. Link is in the description box so you can see all my Week 10 picks. And by the way, if you missed it, I got Bears 31-20 over the Giants. And you can check out the 7-9 Howlers. I'll give a full reason for why I went that way. But last night, I gotta put a little rant about Thursday Night Football, man. I put this on my IG. I got my bang on and put an IG story on the main feed. So I just had to let people know what I was feeling as I was watching. I feel like we finally got Thursday Night Football heritage last night. Like, we had gotten away from our roots of terrible Thursday Night Football, because I really think over the last calendar year, there's been more good matchups than there's been bad on Thursday Night Football. And I think at this point, we're starting to accept it. And yesterday, we got brought down to earth by horrific performances by Bo Monty Nix and also Geno Smith. Geno, I think it's time for you to write your haters back, because they was right. Because this has been a disaster class. And I put this in a group chat last night. It's even more laughable to me now that people thought that Ben Johnson was really going to go to Vegas. Like, that's just that. Tom Brady's not suiting up. I said that for like a month, but it's even funnier now seeing it all play out. The Denver Broncos, great defense. Bo Nix can't fool me, bro. I don't think Bo Nix is a bad quarterback. I mean, damn sure ain't good. And they're 8-2 right now, 5-0 at home in the Mile High. The offense is terrible. It's terrible, man. But last night we were reminded of how bad it can get consistently. And I kind of feel like we needed that blowout to humble us a little bit. Like, we was expecting too much when it came to Thursday Night Football yesterday, man. Bang, did you watch any of the game yesterday? And is it good we're getting back to form with terrible Thursday Night Football again?
I didn't watch enough, and I'm glad. Because, you know, I was at the second job and I saw women 10. What? Are we back to that type of game? I bet. And as far as Bo Nix goes, look, man, I said this on the show once before. I'm going to say it again. It's time for these Jay Feeler quarterbacks to be back. We need more Jay Feelers. We need more Sean Kings. We need more Dave Craigs. We need more Steve Berlines. We need more of those. That's when I look at Bo Nix. That's what I feel. I don't think that Bo Nix is going to be, you know, an elite quarterback. And that is okay, all right? Because Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer have Super Bowls. You are a fairly decent quarterback with a great defense. You can win a Super Bowl, and that's what they have. But when you look at some of these ESPN shows, and they're talking about doing redrafts, if it was expansion teams, and how your quarterbacks will look, and you say Jaden Daniels number one and Drake May number two and Caleb Williams number three, but you have some people say, oh, Bo Nix. Nah, fam, to me, the three, especially if he stays healthy, the three top flight quarterbacks in this draft is always going to be Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Caleb Williams. And when you look at Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., Michael Penix Jr., welcome to that Jeff Blake territory. And Bo Nix, welcome to that, you know, that Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, that Jay Feeler,
Do we have any Jake DeHolmes? Or they're not even Jake DeHolm good. Do we have any Jake DeHolmes?
Jake DeHolm. Oh, that's another one. Jake DeHolm, who went to a Super Bowl, right? Like,
he went to a Super Bowl.
I ain't saying he can't go.
And also, don't forget about, he was part of the reason why I think Peanut Tillman shouldn't even look at the block that the Hall of Fame is on.
I love that mid-tier quarterback. I love that third and fourth tier. Them the ones that have all of the football cards. Them the ones that you have success with in Madden if you have a great defense. And them the ones that can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and also, too, when you talk about the Jeff Blake territory, something we've been saying on this show for the last 2 years, and I feel like also, I don't know if it was Kenyon Martin or was it Tony Allen? One of those many basketball player podcasts said, we ain't got any more OGs or vets in the NBA. We ain't got no more vets in the NBA, and we ain't got no mid-tier quarterbacks. Where's the Blake Bortles at? We need more Blake Bortles, bro. Everybody can't be Lamar Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Dante, what was your thoughts on, not even more yesterday, because there's not really nothing to break down from that god-awful game, but I know you're a Geno Smith guy, or you know, what do you think about these two quarterbacks?
The Raiders are just a prime example of, once again, if your offensive line is bad, you can't do anything. Like, as much as people are wanting to put all this on Geno, if you watch that team, they snap the ball, they in the backfield. Like, it's nothing he can do. Like, so it's not even as much as people want to blame Geno. It's not on him. It's just, this team is poorly constructed and has been for a while. And it seems like every time the Raiders, you know, take two steps forward, they take a step back. And this season is going to be another step back, because now you have Alshon Jeanty, who looks bad. But once again, he's behind a bad offensive line. They're bad at pass blocking and run blocking. So as much as we want to just blame the skill position players, they're messed up in the trenches right now. So until they get that right, that's going to be a cooked situation. But I mean, that's for Thursday night football, bro. I want good games. I do, because I think it adds to the strength that, you know, this is why we've expanded the schedule. This is why we have 17 games, leaning toward 18 games. This is why, because we believe we have this talent and we have a premier product to give you all throughout the week from Thursday to Sunday. You know, I understand that the games used to be so bad. It got so bad. Y'all remember when they started doing the Color Rush jerseys just to get people to tune in so you could see, you know,
and it was the new always jerseys. The Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, it was always bad teams. It's kind of like with the London games. Like, it's usually like they finally started to send better teams over there, but like it's usually a bad team in the Jaguars and, you know, yeah, shit like that. So
the Jets and Patriots next week. Ugh.
Yeah, wait, where is that at?
On Thursday Night Football next week.
Yeah, that's bad. So, you know, that I don't like that, but I mean, I understand why they do it, because you want your premier team to be rested for Sunday to put on the best show for your audience. So I get it, but let's try to spread it out and just get good games all around. I don't like it. We have a lot of weak ass slates that we need to talk about. I think one thing we might need to consider.
Two weeks ago, bro.
It was bad.
Oh my God. No. Week 9 was bottom tier NFL, bro.
We need to get ready. We need to find a new way to determine matchups. This whole, well, if you lost to this team, you play this team. Because the Bears should not have played the Commanders 3 years straight at all.
No. For no in reason Washington. At all. If you're going to do it every year, at least switch it up and get us a game at Soldier Field. They have been in that dump in Landover, Maryland for 3 straight years. It is ridiculous. And it's gotten to the point where you'll look at the afternoon slate on Red Zone, and not even Red Zone to do it for you. Like, what is going on? But I'm with you. Like, there has been better games. I'm not really complaining yet, but I will say I kind of feel like we need to be knocked down to reality a little bit last night, man. But let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks, man. They have been a great story so far. It's been a good year of sports for Seattle with their two sports teams, with the Seattle Mariners, who are a game away from the World Series, losing that game 7. Was that at home they lost? Yeah, they lost it at home. They lost it at home to Toronto. But the Seahawks, man, I don't think anybody predicted the Seahawks to be this good. The Seahawks are currently 6-2. Sam Darnold looked like he's worth all the money. Sam Darnold's got over 2,000 yards passing already. He's got 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He put up 4 on the Commanders' head tops last week. And I am glad that Jaden Daniels looks like he probably won't be out for the year. And I say probably because they might shut him down because they're going to keep losing games. But, man, and all health aside, boy, you Commanders fans really thought y'all was going to go on a golden run. We talk about being brought down to reality. Y'all got brought down to reality quick. In the words of my boy 312 Darius on Twitter, they never had a fucking clue. They never had a fucking clue about what was coming. But the Seahawks, man, they're getting ready to play the Arizona Cardinals this week, who the Cardinals are going to be rolling with Jacoby Brissett for the second week in a row because of man, Kyler Murray will be on the IR. And I say that in air quotes because I think that IR was used to, we don't want to start this man anymore. That's what I really think what that is. Now, they've got a tough schedule coming up. You know, they still got the Rams twice. They've got the Vikings, which is a tough defense to go against. They got the Colts. They got the Seahawks. They got the Panthers, and they got the Niners. So there's still time for them to mess up. And they're in a 3-way division battle right now, triple threat match for the NFC West. But I got to give it to them, man. They've been doing their thing. Their head coach is Mike McDonald, right? I always get the two Mikes messed up because Mike McDaniel, well, he's employed right now. He won't be in a couple weeks. It's Mike McDonald. Yeah, it's Mike McDonald. And, you know, he came from Baltimore. I know Baltimore Ravens fans are missing him. And they've got that defensive identity that he took from Baltimore. And they've really been out there hitting. Obviously, they're not Legion of Boom and things like that. But it gives you Legion of Boom kind of – well, it takes you back to the days when you came to Lumen Field and you know you're going to get beat up. It's kind of the same thing you're seeing now in the offense that they've been running. Sam Darnold, I got to give Sam Darnold credit more than anything. Yes, he did tail off towards the end of last year. They lost that playoff game against the Rams. You can argue whether they should have had home field or not. That's a whole different debate. But I think it's safe to say that this dude, he's a good quarterback. You know, we talk about mid-tier bang. He's king mid-tier. When you look up, this is the poster boy for king mid-tier right now. That's who you want. You want your Sam Darnolds. And from where he came from, the man said he was seeing ghosts. To go out there and be as efficient as he's been, and he hasn't been high turnover. He used to be turnover king. I think it's been great for them. And Jackson Smith and Jigba, Ohio State wide receiver, you, he has been hooping all season, man. The running game has been doing good as well. They're my pick to win the division now. I originally had the Rams at the beginning of the season. They still couldn't do it. I love what I'm seeing from Stafford and Devontae, Puka, and, you know, everything over there. But, Bang, tell me what you like about the Seahawks and, you know, and their chances to win this division.
Well, the Seahawks was one of my surprise teams when we had our season preview early this year. I thought that Sam if shouts out the first black champ, got to do the shameless plug. If I were to put Sam Darnold in wrestling terms, he's like that high mid-carder. He's like that mid-carder that'd get a couple of championship spots and stuff. That's how I look at him. He's going to be around. He's going to be good. He might get a – he's that one where I say, like, can luck up one. And this year could be that one, because one thing that I learned today is that Mike McDonald is 11-1 on the road. Like, he – head coach with the Seahawks. So the one thing that they're going to probably have to do is go on the road and win a game or two. And that is definitely a possibility with this team. Defensively, they stack up very well. They built that team off of their defense. They went and got Sam Darnold. They are 2-3 deep. Yeah, or Big Show. Nah, I won't give him the Big Show. Because if you look at First Black Champ, we be talking shit about Big Show. He be crying and shit.
But we got to put some respect on Big Show's 2003 to 2004 run when he was made. Is he Alberto Del Rio?
Okay, there you go. Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio.
There we go, Sky. You back. We're Alberto Del Rio. All right? He not the Big Show, because Big Show be crying and shit. Their offensive line is set. That three deep with the running back spot. They just upgraded their wide receiver position. They're all in. So I do like what they've done. And I do believe – I won't put them as favorites yet. I won't put them as favorites yet, but I do think they have a strong chance to come out the NFC North. I mean, excuse me, the NFC
West. NFC West. NFC Pierre.
NFC
Pierre. Dante, what's your thoughts on the Seahawks?
Man, the Vikings, they look stupid. They look really dumb. Let Sam Darnold go. I mean, this is a guy who was a high pick. We all knew, like, the talent was always there. He just was never in the right system. And over the past few years, he's shown you when put in the right system, he can be a quarterback that does well. He's doing it again here. JSN is a part of the, you know, of course, the vaunted package everybody talked about with Justin Fields. But it's also interesting that, you know, he's finally showing the potential that he always had. He, another guy who was in the wrong system and was being misused by Shane Waldron. Waldron leaves and he's, you know, been an elite wide receiver ever since. So I think this is a team that, you know, is once again well constructed. It's funny we keep talking about mid-tier, mid-card, because in a lot of ways I feel like they're one of those teams. Like, as good as they are right now and good as the record is, I feel like they're a team. They're going to be entertaining. They may make an NFC championship, but I don't think this is a Super Bowl team. I just don't see that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I also think that's Indianapolis Colts, but I'm going to wait a couple weeks before I cash in on that take. We're going to wrap this up with a new segment I want to call Weekend Game to Watch, where we're going to pick a game that we feel should be a really good one, man, since we were talking about how many mid-games there. And I'm looking at the schedule right now. There's some decent matchups on here. It ain't like, you know, a slobber knocker, as JR would say. But there's some decent matchups on here. My game of the week to watch is Patriots-Buccaneers. This game is in Tampa. You got the Bucks 6-2, Patriots 7-2. I never thought I'd say this. Two MVP candidates going at it. Baker Mayfield and Drake May will be going at it in this game. You know, Baker, he's dealing with a lot of injuries over there in Tampa. You know, Mike Evans, I think he's out for the year, a majority out for the year. You know, Bucky Irvin, they say he got a pulse. We'll see what goes on with that. But the Patriots, man, the Patriots are really good, are a good team. So right now they're leading to win the NFC, I mean AFC East, which I think anybody came into this year thinking this was 100% just going to be the Bills to lose. The Bills have been a very disappointing team. In fact, all the top three contenders in the AFC this year have been disappointing. Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo. I haven't been impressed by either of them three. But I think this is going to be a very competitive game, very good game, and a game that I'm going to take the Patriots on the road. I like that defense a little better right now. They're healthier right now. I don't think Drake is better than Baker Mayfield, but I think Drake's just in a groove right now. Now, I kind of feel with Drake, which I don't know if we'll see later in the season or next year, it kind of feels like his first read is always open. His first read is always open. It's like he never really has to scan the field. And that's not a bad thing because your wide receivers are getting open. But I do wonder what it's going to be like when he has to look at more options. But overall, he's been impressive. He got like 16 touchdowns right now, like 4 interceptions. I'm going to go with the Patriots and Buccaneers as my game for the weekend to watch. Bang, what's a game that you think everybody should be watching this weekend?
Well, you definitely took mine because I was going to say the Patriots and the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, for all y'all that know, is my Super Bowl. My Super Bowl pick come out the NFC, and the Patriots, to me, have been a surprise. So since you took that one, I am going to go with the Rams and 49ers. I know it's been a lot of people that's been saying that Dan Orlovsky is crazy to say that there's a quarterback controversy in San Francisco, but here's why I agree with him.
I don't think that's a hot take.
No, I don't think it's a hot take for this reason and this reason alone. That's the quarterback that he wanted. He was overruled. So I got the quarterback that I wanted that you overruled because you went, you want to go get Trey Lance. I not only got the quarterback that I wanted, but he's winning. Yes, I think that there's going to – matter of fact, this is a hot take that I'll give you. I think it is more of a possibility that you see Kyle Shanahan and Mac Jones on another team next season because of what you see Mac Jones.
That's spicy. Right now.
I think it's more of a chance to see that because he got the quarterback that he wanted. He's proving that he can win with this quarterback. And it's about time for us to actually see the San Francisco 49ers actually win one. And we ain't seeing that. And we probably not going to see it this season. So I think it's more of a chance to see somebody like Robert Saleh take over for the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan and Mac Jones be a package deal to go somewhere else.
The 49ers are in the same – are in the same spot that the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder were the last 2 years before they actually got over the actual hump. You know, being around. It's about Boston more than anything. Boston was in the conference finals for like 5 of the last 7 years and even made an NBA final before they actually won in 2024. I think they missed their shot. I do think that the Niners have missed their shot. And that's why I think you saying that Shanahan and Mac Jones going with themselves, I love that. That's a good hot take. It would not surprise me whatsoever. Dante, close us out. What is your game of the week, game of the weekend to watch?
I am going to go with the Steelers and the Chargers. I think this is a game that if you're the Chargers, you definitely want to keep winning because, you know, we know how Kansas City gets. We know how they will start knocking off wins, and then next thing you know, you're looking up, and it's extremely tough to win that division or get the home field advantage that you want. You don't want to have to end up at Arrowhead. So if you're the Chargers, you need to win this game. If you're the Steelers, you're right on pace to be that usual 10-win team that you are every year. You know, so for them, you want to get this dub on the road. I know going west is a bit difficult, but, I mean, that fan base travels well. So, I mean, I'm sure that won't be an issue for them. So it won't be as much of a, you know, hostile territory as it would be going west for other teams. But I do think this is a game that if you're the Chargers, you want to keep stacking those wins. You see Denver keeps getting these fluke-ass wins, and I think at the end of the day, that's a team that you know you're better than. But as long as they keep winning, you have to keep winning. So I think this is going to be a good game. I think the Chargers will get it done, but I think Chargers-Steelers is going to be my game.
Definitely got some good games this weekend. Of course, Monday Night Football is going to be good as well. That's going to be at Lambeau Field. Packers and Philadelphia Eagles. I will preview that on Monday on my YouTube channel, man. So that is all we've got for y'all today, man. Follow Bang at JR Bang. Follow Dante at October.
Hey, wait, 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 Scott, real quick.
Go ahead.
I want to shout out the Chicago Bears social media team.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing their thing.
Y'all been doing y'all thing, but that video with Roma Dunze doing all the blocking, I'm going to stand on it and say that
great PR
to our show. I'm going to stand on it because I was the only person that day. I was the only person that was talking about, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, hold on. You talking all that about passes, but we know he ain't have a good catch day. But did you see how he was run blocking? Did you see what he did for that run game? And then all of a sudden, we got a package from the Chicago Bears social media team that's showing selflessness for Roma Dunze and showing all of his run blocking. Hey, you said it. I said it. We all said it. They be paying attention. Shouts out to Chicago Bears social team.
Shout out to the entire Chicago Bears. And your take isn't far-fetched because I know people in that building do watch this program. For a fact, I don't know if they're on the social team, but I do know that program is watched by people in that building. So shout out to y'all who do watch, man. But yeah, man, follow Bang at JR Bang on all social media platforms. Follow Dante at October's on Tay. Follow me at Barb Chair Scott. Remember, the show will only be live on Fridays, usual time, within 4:15-ish. And the shows will be around an hour, you know what I'm saying? It'll be most of the times it'll be the usual crew. And yeah, man, if you want to leave a comment starting next week, you gotta leave a super chat, help your boy out. And then on Mondays, the weekend review, weekend recap will be dropping. It'll be mostly me. Sometimes we'll have a guest host. We'll recap everything through the NFL. Do the NFL season, it'll really just be NFL season recaps, and then once the NFL season wraps up, it'll be whatever sports going that weekend. This on Monday, Mariano will be joining me on the weekend recaps. That's on the Patreon, man. So y'all might want to get in tune with that. That is patreon.com/barbershednetwork. The link is in the description box, and also the QR code is on the screen. In order to watch and listen to the weekend recap, you have to subscribe to either the $5 I'm not going to hold you tier or the $10 barbershed access tier, which gets you everything. There's a new episode of 79th and Hallis where I do a full breakdown on Bears Giants. That's also on the 79th and Hallis $5 tier or the All Access tier. And follow me, subscribe to my YouTube channel, YouTube at Barchair Scott, at 389 subscribers. I started the channel back in June, so I appreciate all y'all who have subscribed over this very short time. I want to get to 500 subscribers before the end of the football season, but before you can get to 500, you got to get to 400. We are 11 away from that. Link is in the description box, QR code on the screen. Subscribe, share if you already are a subscriber, like, leave a comment, all that good stuff, man. Y'all have a good weekend. A lot of great sports on. We gonna holler at y'all. Well, I'm gonna holler at y'all on Monday. The rest of the crew holler at y'all next Friday. We up out of here.